Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. This is episode 22. Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 22. I am absolutely pleased to welcome to the show Jeff Beal, best-selling author, public speaker, and marketing strategist. Jeff Beal helps businesses leverage their knowledge to gain authority status in their industry. Then he uses authority marketing to generate higher converting leads. Jeff's unique marketing method has been talked about and covered on Wall Street Journal, ABC, CBS, Fox, and dozens of other media outlets. His marketing insights have helped companies such as Turner Broadcast, The Home Depot, Apartment Guide, AT&T, and several other well-known brands. Jeff provides a practical approach with step-by-step procedures that anyone can follow to achieve similar results with what he calls the four C's of authority marketing.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm excellent, thank you. So I thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us.
Oh, yes. Thanks so much for having me on.
Certainly. So we would love to know a story about how it is you once saw the future before you began, you know, deciding to build out the Mr. Marketology brand.
Okay. Good question. Let me think about it. Repeat the question for me so I can think about it.
Certainly. Tell us a story of how it is you once saw the future before you decided to become Mr. Marketology. So before you began branding yourself and building out your business, what is it that you thought the future would be like?
Okay. I would say as far as thinking of what the future would be like, I really saw myself revolutionizing the marketing industry. And, you know, I looked at some of the greats that were out there, the Jay Abrahams and so forth, and how they made such an impact. And what I wanted to do was to actually make an impact in the business community versus just, I would say, another marketing professional that's basically just doing their job. And one of the things I looked at was the way we approach marketing. We do approach it as just doing a job and tasks and checking off boxes versus pretty much serving the customers and giving them what they want and making a better business relationship with the business, the customers, the business, the employees, and so forth. And so that's how I envisioned Mr. Marketology. And I saw that in providing not just information, because you can go online and see a lot of information, but a more practical, different way of looking at the information.
Certainly. And what were some of the first steps that you took once you decided, okay, you know what, I really do want to make this impact. I know that this is where I'm headed, is to make a difference in the marketing industry. What were some of the first steps that you took?
First steps that I took was to, first of all, I would say, get my mind right, in a sense, of saying, okay, you're going to do it. Step out. You know there's going to be some challenges. I think the biggest obstacle for me was that in marketing, you will fail. And it's a part of marketing. In order to be a successful marketer, you have to fail in order to know what works. And I still go back and forth with that because nobody likes to fail.
That's actually something that I tell the audience quite often, is that there really are no failures in life per se. There's only feedback.
Exactly.
So even though we get those failures, you know, as long as you're learning from it, it's not a failure. It's just a learning experience that you allow yourself to grow from. So, yeah, definitely.
And that's the best way to look at it, because if you do look at it as failure, it is a stumbling block. You'll start doubting yourself. So I started to look at that as, okay, this journey, we're going to have some ups, some downs. We're going to learn some things. And then the next thing was to find out what that picture looks like. You know, it's funny, in marketing, A lot of times we tell our clients that you have to understand your audience. But when we market in ways that are kind of broadcast. And so another thing that I had to look at was, who do I really want to impact? I mean, what does that look like? And what do I want to look like? And getting over that, hey, you're going to have some that love what you say, love how you do your process, and others that don't. And getting over that, finding out that you can't do everything, and figuring out your strengths. And what I did for that, I had some mentors. I mean, I had Scott Nichols, I had Ragu, I had my Uncle Linwood, I had Patrick McFadden, Shannon Anderson. I can go on. I had several different mentors that would come in and say, hey, this is what we found. And one of the biggest things, a piece of advice that I received was, focus on your strengths. You're already successful. Focus on your strengths. Don't focus so much on what you're not doing and focus so much on where you're not. Focus more on your strengths and capitalize on your strengths, and then, of course, outsource which you're not good at, which is something that I do a lot of. I mastered outsourcing in a sense.
Yes.
So that's pretty much the starting process for me.
Right. That's excellent. You took the time to make sure that your mindset was in a positive place. You did the research, and then you found mentors to help you focus on your strengths so that you could go ahead and delegate those tasks that were not necessarily income-generating tasks to others, which makes perfect sense. It's awesome. What did you think was one of the most difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur, and why do you find it was difficult?
Well, the difficult part, and I don't want to get so philosophical, but it is getting your mind together, because you really have to make a decision that that's what you're going to do. A lot of people want to think that it's an easy thing. I woke up one morning, I said, hey, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, and I'm going to go forth and be prosperous. Those days come. You do wake up some mornings like that. Yeah. By the end of the day, you're like, okay, it's so much easier to get a job. And when those days come, you really have to dig deep. Another thing that I had to do, and I do a lot of, my Uncle Linwood always tells me, go back to the source. I listen to a lot of motivational tapes. I read a lot of e-books and books. Every morning I have my power hour, to where not only do I meditate, but I'll get on and listen to Eric Thomas and Coach Jai and Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn, and I'll listen to motivational music and speeches and TED TV. I'll listen to that most of my day. While everyone else is listening to the radio and things of that nature, I listen to that most of my day. And that's because I need that food in me, that spiritual food in me, to keep me motivated and keep me going. Because, you know, you have so many other factors that take away. I mean, I'm going to admit, I have a lot of people close and not so close that consistently say, get a job. You know, they don't know anything about my income. They don't know anything about my success, anything. It's just from what they see, well, what do you do all day? You know, it's funny. My little one, I talked to her this morning. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to the gym. And once I get back from the gym, I'll start working. She was like, you're working from home again? Yes, that's what I do. You know, it's different than what tradition has. And that's the big hurdle to get over. So you have to keep your mind fed with positive inspiration. You have to get around other people that understand. Because if you're not an entrepreneurial person, it's crazy to a traditional type of thinker that you're going to take risks. But the funny part about that is, when I compare, and I tell people do this all the time, take a sheet of paper and split it in two and put on one side being an entrepreneur, put on another side working 9 to 5, and the pros and the cons, and see which weighs out for you. For me, what I realized, the majority of people that I knew work 9 to 5s, and they work 20-plus years, and they are at pretty much the same place they were at year 5. I mean, they are like, I can't retire. I want to retire, but I can't retire. Mm-hmm. Or they're at a situation where they're like, ah, I got to keep working. I have to, you know, I don't know if I can, you know. And then I started looking at some people that I knew that were entrepreneurs. And some of them were playing golf in the middle of the day. Well off.
Right.
And like I said, it's not like that for every entrepreneur. And it's not like that for every person working a 9 to 5. But you have to see what's best for you. Because, like I said, traditionally, if you were to actually just explain it to somebody, it would sound like you're crazy.
I completely understand, and I love how you took us from how it is you create your own perceived reality to how it is that you, you know, begin to explain it to other people or not. Even try to explain it to other people, but just live it fully for yourself and make that decision wholly, because perceived reality is what it is. And if you create it for yourself in the various different manners that we have at this point in time, you know, you can create your own mentors. You can go on YouTube. You can, you know, search the web and find different websites with videos or lectures and things of that sort to create that positive mindset first thing in the morning or throughout the day. You know, I do much the same, Jeff. It's funny. It drives my teenager insane, but I'm constantly listening to podcasts or, you know, another lecture or a TED Talk or something in the car because, first of all, I don't like most of the lyrics on the radio anyways. You know what I mean?
They can dumb it down, don't they?
Car, with a teen in the car, it's much easier for me to, you know, absorb the information that I'm looking to absorb anyways versus figure out what it is that's appropriate to still listen to. You know, I completely understand. I think that's great. What are some of the key metrics that you feel a newbie should really begin focusing on when they perform their market research, when they're beginning to look at who it is they want to market to? Because, of course, as you mentioned, you know, when you begin the marketing, it is kind of a broad reach, but it's important to listen to the audience. You know, what do you feel are some of those key metrics that a newbie really should be listening to when looking at their research?
Well, I would say first thing and foremost, put the money on the back burner, because that's the first thing a lot of businesses do. They say, I can make a lot of money doing this. I can make a lot of money doing that. To be honest, you can make a lot of money doing any and everything, and you can go broke doing any and everything. So put that on the back burner. Find out, first of all, what is your passion? Who do you want to serve, and what benefits do you want to bring to the table? You know, a lot of people go into the latest trend, and that's just what it is. It's a trend. So when that trend ends, are you still going to have that fortitude to continue on, or are you going to go down with the ship? And so, you know, when you're doing your market research, figure out, first of all, who do I want to service? First of all, what's my passion? And then what does my ideal customer look like? Who do I want to service? What keeps me inspired to continue to service this? I had realized for myself that there's a certain type of customer that or client that I work with that I really do not like working with. Even though some people I know make a lot of income doing it and it works for them, my clientele is completely different. And it's only because there's certain things that that you go through that might just like turn that nerve a little bit too much. It's like in a relationship. When you're in a relationship, you don't know until you get deep into a relationship or marriage all the little things that just work your nerves. And it's the same thing with your clients and your customers. That if, let's say, if you are a person that don't like someone to ask a lot of questions, don't be a counselor, don't be a teacher, and don't be an IT guy, because you're going to get a lot of questions, you know. And if you're the type that's like, look, don't ask me any more questions, then that might not be the field for you, even if it's the field that's making all the money at this time.
You got it. You got it. No, that's excellent. I love that, Jeff. You really put those key questions that you need to focus on right out there for the audience. What is your passion? Who is your ideal customer? And how is it that you can best serve that person? Those are excellent. How do you feel that technology has helped you in growing or building out the Mr. Marketology brand?
Oh, technology is wonderful. It really helps you streamline a lot of the process. It actually can serve as a great assistant in your efforts, especially if you think it through. Now, that's the thing. You have to do all the work on the front end. A lot of times people get technology and they put it to use and they misuse it. And I've done it myself. I've did social media and automated some stuff and had stuff go out and people like, what?
We've been there. All been there.
I remember I was putting quotes on my social probably 20 times a day. People were like, nobody's that inspired, you know? And, you know, so it's one of those things where you have to think it through at the beginning, but it really can help if you have a good plan, a good strategy. It can help take a lot of the lifting away, and you can go a whole lot further with technology because you only have 24 hours in a day. But with technology, you can leverage other resources to extend that time because you're extending your resources.
Certainly. Certainly, much like you were saying earlier, just even utilizing that windshield time, it's a perfect time to actually continue growing and learning and using those opportunities. So excellent. What do you caution? What would you feel as one of the bigger mistakes first-time entrepreneurs tend to make?
I think one of the biggest mistakes that first-time entrepreneurs, and let me go ahead and give you a couple of them. One, they chase the money. And when they chase the money, when you don't see it immediately, you get discouraged and you have nothing else to keep you going. So I think that's the first thing that I think entrepreneurs do that they may make a mistake at. And the second, they don't continue to fuel themselves with positive reinforcements. Positive people in their lives and resources and podcasts and books, and you have to, because you're going to get a lot of people in your corner that's going to be telling you it's not going to work. You need to go back and do what I'm doing, working for this company, that company. You're going to have to be like us, or flip side, things go well. I need to be put on the payroll. Even though I'm not doing anything, I need to be put on the payroll, and so you have to have a good understanding of yourself and your desire to weed through that, because those things do bring you down. I don't know any entrepreneur that has the magic answer for beginning out the gate and has never went through that, has always been just so supportive, unless they come from a family that is the family business and they all were entrepreneurs and that type of thing.
Right,
but
right.
Majority of time, most entrepreneurs, and my uncle always helps me with this, they stop 3 feet short of success. And, that old story about the guy that had diamonds in his backyard, and he was just 3 feet short when he sold his lot,
Right.
And
right.
So I think that's the biggest thing, the biggest mistake. Entrepreneurs first run out and say, I'm going to be rich. And when it doesn't come overnight, they're ready to throw in the towel. And then they start asking the wrong people. They start asking people that are like, yeah, you should quit, because you're not going to make it. And the funny part is, this is the funny part I always tell myself. I'll take a bathroom break, look in the mirror, and say, you know what? These same people are working for somebody that was an entrepreneur, and they made them rich.
Yep,
because that's the bottom line. And the bottom line is you're working for somebody. Somebody started the company. Somebody was an entrepreneur, and you're making somebody else rich.
Yeah. So yeah, it's the same as home ownership. You know, you can rent and continue to make somebody else's mortgage payments, or you can make your own. It's that simple. You can do it for yourself, or you can do it for somebody else. It's just a matter of where you want to be.
Exactly. And even if you're not making a lot of money, if you're waking up and you're enjoying your day, you're enjoying what you're doing all day, it's worth it. It is 100% worth it, whether you're making $1 million or you're making $100. You know, if you continue to keep doing it, you'll be successful. And this is another thing, too, defining success in a better way. Success does not mean that you have to be Oprah, you know, Warren Buffett rich. Success means that you're doing what you love to do, and tomorrow you can continue to do it. You are making enough to do it tomorrow, so you're already successful. It's just how far you want to take that success. And that's something else I had to learn, that instead of saying I want to be successful, which I say a lot, I want to be successful, everyone else is looking at you as if you're already successful. But you don't see it because you're so much looking at someone else's success, somebody else's life, and comparing your life to their life, not knowing everything that was involved or is involved. And so redefining what success actually is. Because even if you're just making your mortgage and you don't have to worry about sleeping on the street and you can wake up tomorrow and do this again, you're successful.
You got it. Yeah. No, definitely. I love that you brought it back to perceived reality. You know, it's defining your own success, knowing what that is, and making sure that you're striving for that and knowing that that's your end goal as a whole. It's not about someone else's definition of success. It's about defining it for yourself and then living that.
Yeah.
So, excellent. The show is really designed to kind of help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for companies to solve a pain in an industry that they may not have thought of. So, Jeff, I'd love to help you. If you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business of marketing on a, you know, procedural basis day to day, what would it be and why?
I think for me, it would be having a priority balance of prospecting versus fulfillment, and having a good day-to-day operation. A lot of times in my business, I am kind of on a swing of the wind that one day I may be doing one thing heavily, and then the next day I'm not. And I may not pick that back up for weeks. So I may prospect one day very heavily, and I may not prospect another time until next week. Instead of having a good day-to-day consistent operation, I think that's one of my biggest challenges right now. And even though I may have some assistance with it, keeping those balls in the air in a good rhythm is something I'm still working on.
Excellent, Jeff. Thank you. I am hoping that the audience is listening in and can come up with an effective manner to assist you in continuing to prospect on a regular basis in more of a consistent manner. I completely understand how difficult that can be, trying to juggle that on top of marketing and running the business in general. You know, it's a matter of working on the business versus in the business daily. So, so I completely understand. Jeff, you have been awesome, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your time today. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show. You can find me at MrMarketology.com, which is MrMarketology.com. And on that, I have a lot of information in forms of podcasts and video and case studies and things of that nature to help companies understand how to optimize their marketing. All my socials are the same. They are MrMarketology, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, you know, so all of them are Mr. Marketology. I definitely believe in owning your brand. And if they want to call me, they can call me at 770-852-0623.
Jeff, thank you again for joining us today. You were absolutely outstanding, and I really appreciate you sharing your expertise with our audience. And thank you, the techie community, for joining me here once again for episode 22. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I did. Just as Jeff said, you have to keep your mind fed with positive inspiration. You can reach out to Jeff at MrMarketology.com. You can always reach him through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Jeff Beal. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.